I think we have a responsibility, you know. It's not because we are stronger that we need to exploit and torture. And I think given the fact that we have so much more power in a way, we should use this for good. And something clicked in me after my first meeting with cows. And I really hope that if I can show through my videos how sensitive and beautiful animals are, it can click for some other people. There's a long way to go, but hopefully we start treating animals better.
You're listening to highlights of the Creative Process and One Planet podcast's interview with Loris Sasadian, also known as Plume, a musician and activist who uses his acoustic guitar to forge trust with animals. This podcast is supported by the Jan Michalski Foundation.
So I like mostly minor keys, something sad, which I think kind of works for animals because they can sense the sadness and they try to reassure me and comfort me. They touch me, rub their heads against me. And I choose love songs because I'm convinced that they're very intuitive and that they can sense what I'm trying to say to them. I'm trying to profess my love in a way. I think there's always a way to connect, and if you're being cautious and you don't like threaten the animals, something beautiful can happen.
And so animals, as I understand, they're detecting patterns in movement, sound, breath, and tension. You know, the human sitting calmly, like you say, producing this kind of non-threatening noise over time, this pattern sound. It's already unusual, I think, for them, for you just to arrive there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's something in the live guitar music, but I definitely think there's something in your performance. I don't know if you can break it apart, all the little pieces. It's not just the music, it's you. It's something they're sensing in you, and the animals are primed to notice, and they might be responding to you. That carries through their body and through their ears.
Hallelujah. Well, that's very kind of you to say, but I think any musician could connect with them in a way. I think what makes the difference now is that I don't sing around them, but I sing for them. You know, I really try to connect, and I feel like the intent makes all the difference, but it's not necessarily about me per se, but...
I like how you pair it with the music, because it gives a deeper storytelling. And it unlocks something in the song, like Country Roads. It makes me think about the song. What does that mean, country roads for animals? Let's go back to the home where we belong. Life is older than the trees. Those songs mean something to you? It makes me think, obviously, I hope it makes us all think when we see this, that we've dominated this earth so long, but we share this earth. We should be doing a better job at sharing it with them. And this song tells something about their relationship with the earth. Because there's this whole field of study called road ecology, like how our cities and roads and highways especially are cutting animals off from their natural habitats. And so they can no longer make their annual migrations as they're cut off from their natural food sources. It also limits their ability to mate and reproduce. And you see elephants and other animals, you know, at a great risk to their lives, making these road crossings. And often they're killed doing this. So as I listen to Country Roads again, let's take a moment to think about our man-made roads. Since cars and trucks kill more wildlife than almost anything else humans do, if you look at the asphalt we drive on today, in most of our highways, they're only 50 to 70 years old. Basically, that's the span of a single human lifetime. But the migration paths these animals are walking have been carved into the earth, you know, going back over 6,000 years. So from their perspective, when an animal tries to cross a highway, it's following what they call a ghost road that's three times older than the Roman Empire. We think of our road networks as permanent, but think about it from behind their eyes, like to a deer or an elk, because I really think animals have a deeper sense of ancestral memory. So to a deer or an elk, our 50-year-old highway is just a temporary obstacle that was dropped overnight across a trail their ancestors have used for, you know, 60 centuries. And, so listening to that, and as you perform it, made me think about our relationship to that. It's a real eye-opener to watch that communication that takes place in your videos as you play music. You talked about the first videos that you made were with cows. So these are farm animals. They've kind of already accustomed to human-made sounds, voices, engines, tools. And then, you know, you gradually progressed, as I mentioned, like white tigers or elephants. I mean, these are in sanctuaries, but they have different instincts by nature. Can you paint the picture? You know, what's that difference playing for a wild animal who doesn't have this long relationship with humans?
I'll tell you, I think like there's no difference. I think we're all on an equal scale. Of course, you have to be careful with wild animals because they are less accustomed to us. And so they can be reactions that you don't really expect and they can be scared of you. But I feel like we're all part of this world and we're kind of all the same. So that's why I didn't always used to think that way because I was always cautious. I didn't want to do big cats because I felt like it would be kind of a joke. Like they're just going to want to like eat me and that's all they're going to think about. But then I tried it to see without even taking a video the first time with lions and they all started lining up in front of me and falling asleep. There were almost 20 lions, so that was pretty special. And so why not try it again and again? And it turns out big cats are the most receptive species so far.
You mentioned they're free. We often see a bird in the sky or a panther on the savannah. And I mean, we've all felt this. We've envied their freedom. What's really interesting to see these, the wild animals or the farm animals or those on sanctuary, I'm just wondering what has being around them taught you about freedom. What we see in the videos is they see something gentle and authentic in your spirit. But as I watch, it seems to awaken another layer of freedom in them. That's what I see.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. The very next day.
I hope so. I hope they can escape. Although, you know, a lot of sanctuaries, so they escaped already a very dark past, and it's always very surprising and very inspiring to me. These animals are just willing to forget and forgive right away. You know, they want to connect. Even though they've been so heavily mistreated by human beings, they just want to love us again.
Once bitten and twice shy, keep my distance.
You know, I learned about the past of those animals and how they were treated. It's within a few minutes where we build this trust and we build this connection, and it's something that's that I really admire in the animal kingdom, this way to be so forgiving. And so, yeah, I think we should learn a thing or two.
So what is that, like being around them, taught you about the nature of freedom? I mean, we feel our time so much. It's not something you observe when you see animals, what they're being struggled for their survival or to eat, but they don't feel their time of the stresses of jobs and works and how we have to distract ourselves all the time. And what has that made you reflect on the nature of freedom?
Yeah, I think it's an ego thing for us. We always need to be somewhere, or we always need to be doing something. But yeah, it's nice to witness how eat some hay, and I guess they are much happier than we are in a way. The ones that are not mistreated, of course. I sometimes think, and it's also why it's so soothing for me to be around them, because it's one of those quiet, peaceful moments where you just you're there, you're present, and you connect with them, and there's nothing else. And so, yeah, it feels very, it's like my own private little therapy in a way, because it's so rewarding and so soothing.
This time of year, it's the holidays. We're all thinking about the end of the year. We're reconnecting to ourselves, to our family, what matters most to us. I wonder, is there an element of spirituality in that for you? We know you appreciate Earth and the animals.
Well, there's mostly a sense of anger because of the, you know, the traditions. And like in France, we have this thing called foie gras where you kind of torture, you know, those ducks. And it's been mostly fighting against that lately. It's been very present. I want to tell everybody, don't buy it this year. Don't do this. And so we're having a vegan Christmas with family. My mom wants to like surprise us with some vegan recipes. So we're gonna have that. And so I want to work with a tour manager that allows me to tour into sanctuaries, because I think it would be a cool idea to just do an acoustic shows for a handful of people in a sanctuary, and then we learn more about the animals. So it's something I want to do, to like educate myself, and if people can learn also some stuff about the animals, I think it would be great. I do think we need to be more transparent about what goes on into animal exploitation, especially for young people, so that they know what they are participating in. because I didn't. And maybe if, I don't know if at school it can happen, but maybe if at school there's a program that also explains nutrition and what we put into our bodies and what does it do. And yeah, that would be interesting. I'm convinced that the future of this world is through veganism, because, you know, it's the meat industry is destroying not only lives, but the planet as well. So I do think people are clicking more and more, which is contradictory because also the numbers have never been this bad in the history of animal exploitation. I've been meeting so many people that are inspired by animals that want to help. It's maybe because I'm also in that world now that I get to share, but I don't know, all my family, they've been starting one by one to become a vegetarian or vegan. Some of my friends are interested in it, so I really hope the future of that world is like living in harmony and not hurting anyone.
The music featured in this episode was performed by Laurie Sasadian, recording under the name Plume. You heard his original tracks, Rien du tout, along with his interpretations of Imagine by John Lennon and Yoko Ono, Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Harold Arlen and Yip Harburg, Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen, Country Roads by Bill Danoff, Kathy Nivert and John Denver, and Last Christmas by George Michael. From everyone here at the Creative Process and One Planet podcast, we wish you a happy and creative new year. If you'd like to get involved in One Planet podcast or learn more about environmental projects, click on the subscribe button. Thank you for listening.